Hi there, thanks for joining us for the Racing Post Weekend Postcast, and what a weekend it is. Sadly, Longchamp will be largely empty, but that doesn't mean we're not looking forward very much to the Prix de l'Arc de Triomphe, in which the wonderful Enable is hoping to win the race for the third time. Well, we're hoping she is. I'm not sure what she's thinking. Anyway, before we get to that, we've got eight superb races on Saturday on ITV. Plus, we'll also have a look at the other group ones on the first day of Arc Weekend. And then our attention will switch to one of the great days of the year, Arc Day at Longchamp on Sunday. Joining me, Bruce Millington, to look ahead to this feast of racing are David Jennings and Keith Melrose from the Racing Post, as well as Paddy Power's Ryan McHugh. Now then, last week, we showed that there are more than one way to skin a cat or indeed pick a winner. DJ very lucidly explained why Alcohol Free would win the Cheveley part, which she did. She was 8-1 at the time. And then G-Rod, in a slightly more roundabout way, sort of explained but didn't really explain why its Supremacy was going to win the middle part, but he did that as well at 7-1. Well done, DJ, for that. Like I say, you were slightly more fluent, but we got there. We both got there in the end. So, DJ, better go first. And we're going to look at the 140 at Newmarket, which is the Tattersall's October Auction Stakes, two-year-old race over six furlongs, one of those sales races with a large field. Have we got a strong favourite, Ryan?
Yeah, we do indeed, Bruce. Mighty Gurkha heads the betting at 13-8, currently with Paddy Power. Clear on form and in the betting. Fairy Dust is next in at 7-1. Parato then is in there at 8. It's obviously revolves around one horse. I think this race, Mighty Gurkha, obviously sets a really high standard with a mark of 104, coming off the back of a Group 3 win at Kempton last time. I think his two best performances probably came on the all-weather. For that reason, I was going to put up one maybe each way in the race gift list, I thought. The fact the horse handles soft ground is a key here. Ground's going to be pretty testing at Newmarket. So at a bit of a price, around 12-1 at the moment, getting weight off most of our rivals in this. I thought gift list was of interest. But as I said, Mighty Gurkha will be very popular, I'd imagine, on the day. Currently heads to bet at 13-8.
Okay, thank you, Ryan. And as Ryan pointed out, the going's going to be soft. The going's actually going to be atrocious everywhere. I mean, some of the forecasts are appalling. So do check in the morning just how heavy it's going to be. But I think we can assume that all around the country, the hooves are going to be going nice and deep into the turf. Okay then, DJ, there's a lot of interest in races this weekend. This isn't one that I'm ultra thrilled about, but perhaps you can put up a value bet that will infuse me a little bit more.
Yeah, well, I'm taking on the favourite, Bruce. I think the favourite's far too short. Scrambled over the line of Group 3 last time, and on ratings, obviously, should be the one to beat. But I like the second favourite and the third favourite, and I'd almost couple them, Fairy Dust and Parata. Parata would be my first choice, but Fairy Dust handles off ground when it won at Newbury, so that would kind of sway me to think I should have a saver on Fairy Dust. But just with Parata, it was just a nightmare last time at Doncaster. Back over 5-2L, which sounds ridiculous because he was just far too keen then and couldn't get into the rhythm. I think he likes passing horses. I think stepping back up to 6 here where he'll get a lead will suit. He's drawn in stall 27. And in the last couple of years, Lorton won it from stall 27 in 2018 and Accidental Agent won it from stall 30 in 2016. So being high could help here. So I'm going to go with Parata, who I think has a little bit of value.
Okay, and Keith, who do you like here?
Broadly agree with DJ, to be honest. I thought Mighty Gurkha, I'm desperate to have a bet because I do think that horse is too short. It's the, one of those things where the sort of cachet of his form really outstrips the actual worth of it. And I think I would be Parato's the one I'm going to come down on against him. I'd go further than DJ. I think this horse is a bit of a thinker, quite frankly. He pulls hard an awful lot. I thought I saw some tail flashing at York when he came through, but he might be just the sort of horse that, in a massive field race like this, enjoys picking his way through and finds a way to really put up a big performance.
Okay, so no love for the Fav in the first. Gift List and Parato are your first tips. We move on to the 210 at Newmarket, which is the British EBF Premier Fillies Handicap wide open race. What's the latest betting, Ryan?
Yeah, Odie Mabody heads the betting at 5-1. It's 11-2 Mal Davis, 6-1 Moonlight Paris, along with Wondrous Words, and it's 9-1 Bard M4.
This looks a struggle, Keith. Do your best to solve it for us.
Well, it's personal, lads, so I don't know if anybody wants to particularly sort of follow me in here, but I did put up B Moore at Chester last time, and I think there was enough there to think I'll give it another go. everything that happened at Chester didn't really go right. And once you're slowly away there, you're sort of struggling anyway. She has won previously on soft ground at Newmarket. She's been dropped a pound, and previous comments that I don't think they've quite got to the bottom of her yet stand.
Okay, B more for Keith. Do you fancy anything here, Ryan?
No, Bruce, I think it's a wide open race, and I'd be happy to listen to both DJ and Keith's thoughts on it.
Okay, well, let's get DJ's thoughts on it.
I can't believe this, Bruce. I can't wait until we get to the arc where I'm going to absolutely crucify Keith Melrose. But I'm going to absolutely 100% agree with him here with B More. And I'm going to go further. I don't think the market has cottoned on to the fact that B More has run three times on soft ground, and she's won three times on soft ground, including at Newmarket. And just she seems to be a soft ground filly. And the knock-on effect of her running on quicker ground, good to firm, obviously, when she won at Sandown, she's ground versatile. But then she ran twice. She ran at Goodwood and Chester. But I still think she's better with cutting the ground, which means she can still run off 89, which is only £3 higher than her last win at Mark, which I actually thought was possibly even as good a race, if not better than this. I think 9-1 is a cracking price. And I think when people realise how well she handles this ground, I think she'll be half that price.
Oh, I'm looking forward to hearing you take on this.
He says he's going to crucify me. He doesn't know what I'm backing in the race. I barely know what I'm backing in the arc.
Hold on a second. I read about a thousand words from you saying how Enable wasn't that good.
Yeah, the Grinch.
She's not been that good since she was three. She's not been that good since she was three, lads.
Listen, the Grinch. You keep your miserable views on Enable till later on, all right? Well, we'll be having you later, Grinch. Okay, in the meantime, let's look ahead to the highlight of the Newmarket card. It's the 2:45, the Kingdom of Bahrain Sun Chariot Stakes. A group one for the fillies and mares over a mile. Really interesting race. Ryan, give us a show of betting, and then DJ, you can tell us all about Champers Elise.
Yeah, Champers Elise heads to betting at 7-2. Actually, joint favourite now with Peaceful, who's came in a tick at 7-2. Terebulum is in there at 5-1, the older mare, along with Nazif, who's at 6s, and it's 8-1, then Voracious, and bigger prices the rest.
Okay, DJ, so I mean, Champers Elise is obviously a bit of a rags-to-riches story for Johnny Murta in Ireland. Just tell us about her, and is she your selection?
Yeah, unbelievable story, Bruce. One of the real feel-good stories of the summer, and that obviously with the way the COVID has been, it's nice to get a story like this, but should have been sold to Hong Kong after it won earlier on in the season. It won a handicap at Dakura of 86 under Danny Sheehy and was supposed to be sold to Hong Kong, but it failed the vet because it's not a good walker. And she wasn't sold to Hong Kong. And then she was almost sold again. And the same thing happened again, I think. And she subsequently won a listed race by 7 lengths at Galway. She won a Group 3 at Goran Park. And obviously won the Matron, a Group 1, brilliantly at Leopardstown. But I'm going to be the Grinch here, Bruce, because I think this is the bet of the weekend here, Peaceful. This 7-2 is massive, massive, massive. And I just urge everybody, if they can, to just take that 7-2 now, because you will be looking at a docket that will be singing at you at about 2:44 on Saturday, because I think this is going to be a monster gamble. I really do. This Peaceful, I interviewed Aidan O'Brien a couple of weeks ago, and he told me that she would return in the Matron, but that she was his favourite, saying she'd be just about ready to start back. And I thought she ran an absolute cracker in the Matron. They went hard. Colin Keane spoke how hard they went up front. Fancy Blue, multiple Group 1 winner, couldn't go to pace, stayed on into third. Peaceful was up there throughout, and she kept at it, so she did, despite the fact that she wasn't fully wound up for the race. I think she could be one of the stories of the autumn, because I'd love to see her going for the Champion Stakes. I think she's that good. I did want her to go to France to run in the Prix de l'Opera, but Fancy Blue, the same owners, runs there. But I think this is actually a shrewd choice, because I think she'll handle the ground. She was just beaten on heavy at Newmarket last year, but she does handle cutting the ground. And I think a mile at Newmarket on this ground will be a test of stamina. That's where Peaceful comes into her own. That's where I'm not convinced about Champers Elise. The Leopardstown mile is a little bit easier. And I think 7-2 Peaceful is a cracking bet. And it's my strongest fancy the whole weekend.
Now, DJ, Ryan McHugh sounds like a decent man, unlike that horrible Niall O'Reilly last week. You remember what he did when you put up Alcohol Free? He chopped the price after you'd put the case up and wouldn't put it back up. Now, I know that Ryan is a good guy, so he'll keep that 7-2 Peaceful. Keith Melrose, who do you like in the Sun Chariot?
I don't have an especially strong view, certainly not on DJ's level. I did think that the favourite should be trained by John Gosden. I think Terabellum's Queen Anne second and Nazif's Falmouth win are probably the best pieces of form in the field, and I thought the market had it wrong in that regard. Unfortunately, I couldn't particularly split them myself, maybe nominally Terabellum, because I think she's more progressive than is maybe being made out, but it wasn't a race in which I'm going to be getting tucked in the way DJ is.
Okie dokie, thank you very much, Keith. And Ryan, who are you going to go for?
Yeah, I thought Terabellum was probably the most interesting for me in it. She's back from a break, and she's going to be fresh coming into this. I think her run in the Falmouth last time probably came a little bit too quick after her two previous efforts. She's been improving with racing all through last season, and then again this season. I thought she was the one I thought might take a little bit of beating in the race.
Jolly good, thank you very much. We are off and running. It's Ascot next.
Paddy Power are streaming all UK and Irish racing on our app. No bet required. Just log in and watch. Terms and conditions apply. 18 plus begambleaware.org.
Welcome back to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. Bruce Millington, David Jennings, Keith Melrose and Paddy Power's Ryan McHugh. We've got four ITV races on Saturday from Ascot to look at next. And we will start with the 155, which is the tote.co.uk Rail Stakes. A listed race over five furlongs, and Ascot, like everywhere else, is expected to get a lot of rain. So, mudlarks all the way and a wide open market, Ryan. Give us the show of betting, and then who's going to pass the post in front?
Yeah, so the Dakota Gold heads are betting at 9-2. There's a lot of open races this weekend. Mosgiel is in there at 5-1, along with Tis Marvelous, and a 6-1 Made in India with bigger prices than the rest. For me in this race, Bruce, a top Made of India made most appeal. She put up a career best performance last time in the Flying Five at the Curragh, albeit it was on different ground. She was a winner on Guttersoft in the past. She beat Dakota Gold around this time last year as well, which obviously reads well in the context of this race. She gets a bit of weight off Dakota Gold, who was a penalty to carry to try and follow up his success in the race last year. And all things considered, I thought Made in India around 6-1 was a decent each way bet, provided she handles the real heavy going, which is sure to be at Ascot.
It certainly is. DJ, who's your selection?
Oh, Bruce, I hate these five furlong sprints that don't involve Batash. Genuinely, no strong opinion. If pushed, Tarbush.
Thank you. And Keith?
I'm going to just a very tiny quibble with what Ryan said. Dakota Gold has his penalty, but it's not for winning this race last year, because the penalty is only applied from the end of March. It's for winning the Beverly Bullet back in August there. And the crucial thing about that is it was a stiff five furlongs with an uphill finish on soft ground. And I just think that this horse, he's drawn right on the rail, and he has obviously got that form in softer grounds. He can do it over a stiff five, break out, get prominent early on, and maybe not see another rival. It might not be better the weekend, and it might not be the most original thing I'll ever see, but I do think that horse well deserves to be favourite.
Yeah, he's a beaut, isn't he, old Dakota Gold. Right, let's move on to the 2:30. This is interesting. The tote.co.uk Cumberland Lodge Stakes, a Group 3 over a mile and a half, and Logician dominates the market, Ryan.
8-15 is the price about Logician, Bruce. Mirando's in there at 7-2 for any filthy each way punters. 6-1 Highland Chief, and has 12-1 Bardos.
Well, you'd have to tread carefully, DJ, if you want to do any dirty each way through, because there's eight runners at the moment, but given the amount of rain that's about to fall, you wouldn't be long odds on that it will remain eight runners. Notwithstanding that, DJ, what do you think of this comment? Logician has never really beaten a good horse.
I know we're going to come to the arc later and we'll come to Enable, but I don't like them type of arguments when horses keep winning. Right, fair enough, if they're beaten every so often, they're beaten every second run, and then you pick out the race that they won, you say, well, look, it was beaten next time, it was found out, limitations exposed. But how do you know when horses keep winning? And like last time at Doncaster was effortless, like in the St. Ledger last year. Like, I don't know what he's supposed to do. Like, Frankie was pulling them up like 50, 100 yards from the line. Like, I just think horses that win races, I don't know what else they're supposed to do. They can only, like, I know you can use, you know, lengths for pounds and all this, but when horses don't race so easy, I think it's very, very hard. I just think he's a very, very good horse. And, you know, some people, shrewd enough judges, were putting him up as an outsider in the arc. Miranda was going to absolutely adore the ground, but I don't know if it's enough to sway the verdict back in Miranda's favour. There's £8 between them in ratings. And I think he will cope with the ground. He was okay at Newmarket last year on Good to Soft, only okay. But I think he will handle the ground. I think he'd win.
I think if there is a dirty each way bet here, by the way, Keith, and the eight do go to post, I think it's Highland Chief rather than Miranda. What do you think?
I'm probably going to sit this one out on principle because this favourite should be in the arc. What price would he be?
I don't know.
Maybe single figures.
Yeah, but I mean, that wouldn't necessarily mean he's value at single figures.
Potentially not, but this horse should be running in the arc. And if they've come here to get better ground, looks like they might not get it particularly. But yeah, I think that horse will, he'll probably win. He is a very good horse. I agree with DJ. He is better than this lot. But I'm harumphing because if he was with probably any other owner, he would be in the arc.
Yeah, but what, Keith, like, hold on here a second, right? They have got a horse that's trying to create history in the same colours with the same trainer. Why on earth would they say, oh, let's run Logician as well? Who cares about Logician? This is about one of the greatest days potentially in the history of the sport. I think they're damn right to run Logician at Ascot.
Well, Khalil Abdullah's got as many arc winners as Marcel Boussac, doesn't he? He ties or maybe even holds the record out right now. He loves to have the arc winner. And he maximises that by running one of the other best horses in the race as well as Enable.
It's not about that.
Well, we'll see. In the meantime, Ryan, are you with or against the jolly here?
I think you kind of have to be with. You'd be very disappointed if this lot beat him. Obviously, Miranda, the ground is going to really suit him. He's a mud lover, but I'd be very disappointed personally if the Logician couldn't make it seven in a row, but he wouldn't be a betting price for me at that price.
No, I'm going to take him on. I don't care what you think. 305 at Ascot. This is difficult, this, isn't it? It's the Tote.UK Challenge Cup, a Heritage Handicap, over 7 furlongs. A zillion runners, a wide-open favourite. Ryan, what's the latest betting?
Yeah, we're paying 5 places in this. Kinran heads the bet. Joint favourite with River Nymph. Raising Sand is in there, 13-2. Blue Mist is 7-1, along with King Ottiger. And that's 10-1, then bigger the rest.
Keith, at long last, I'm going to get paid out on Raising Sand. He's going to run and he's going to win, isn't he?
Yes, he's one I'm putting up. He has been pulled out a couple of times this year. And I've, on those occasions, tended to put him up myself as one of those sort of standard, this horse will probably finish in the first 4 or 5 and we'll see how we get on sort of things. And if he does run tomorrow, then, yeah, he is. You don't need to explain why you're backing Raising Sand particularly, do you? He's got a lot of form over the course and distance. He has a bit of form when the ground's on the softer side. So, yeah, he's a really solid option. The price is starting to go a little, but I think he is the each way bet in the race.
And who do you like, Ryan?
Orban, for me, Bruce, was the one I thought was most interesting. He has form on slower going in France when he was previously trained over there. Jamie Spencer rode him for the first time last time at Ascot. And he just caught my eye. He missed the break early on before running on late to finish fourth. I think Jamie Spencer will know the horse a little bit more after riding him that day. And around 12-1, he seems to be drawn on the right side too. So I'd take him each way.
Good man, Ryan. Thank you very much indeed. And David Jennings.
A 25-1 poke for me here, Bruce. Blown by Wind for Mark Johnson, who has so many runners every day. We know that. But it's just a lot of horses I've noticed that were kind of gradually out of form earlier on the season, coming back to themselves. That Ifraz was very impressive the other night at Kempton. I think his horses are bombing at the minute. And I just think this Blown by Wind, again, it's a ground thing. Like when he won that novice event at Windsor a couple of years ago, that was on heavy ground. It was utterly bottomless under James Doyle. Musselburgh ground gets very soft as well. And if you go back to last October, he beat none other than Montatam, who's obviously now rated 110. At the time was rated 88 and was given Montatam plenty of weight, £5, I think, that day on soft ground. Now, Blown by Wind has lost his way a little bit this season. And you just wonder, you know, will he win again off this sort of a mark? Because he's running off 101. But I thought he ran okay at Chelmsford last time. He missed a break and was never in the right position. I think if he breaks better and Sylvester can get Blown by Wind out, I think he's going to relish this ground, and he doesn't have a bad win rate for a horse that runs so often. He's 5 wins from 25. He's been 2nd 4 times. I think 25-1 is a big price about Blown by Wind.
When you said you were going to go for a 25-1 shot, I thought you were going to go for the old ropey guest who's in handicap company for the first time. He finally shed his maiden tag. He's quite interesting, isn't he, here?
Yeah, and he actually looked beaten at Chelmsford. I don't know if you've seen the race. He was like 1-3. And Fast Spin looked like it got first run on ropey guest. I was going, I don't believe it. He's going to lose again. But he actually won quite... He won quite snugly at the line. A likeable ale horse.
Yeah, I think I might have to have a little fiver on him there. Okay, the other Ascot race is the 3:40. It's the John Guest Racing Bengough Stakes. It's a Group 3 over 6 furlongs. Kate Byron, the fav, Ryan.
Yeah, the combined age of the first three, the betting is 22 years of age here, and Kate Byron heads the betting at 9-4 with us. The Tin Man's in there at 3-1 with Brando and Breathtaking Luck, both in there at 8, and then it's 10-1 and bigger the remainder of the field.
And Ryan, are you going to go for one of the old boys or one of the young guns?
Yeah, it's not a race I'm going to be getting involved in, to be honest with you, Bruce. I thought myself if Kate Byron was fit and ready to go after break, he'd win, but it's not a betting race for me.
Is it a betting race for you, David?
Yeah, I think Kate Byron will win. Like, six now, and you kind of say to yourself, you know, six-year-olds, but he actually is reasonably likely race. Like, he's ran 17 times, but, you know, he had a tough enough season last season, but, you know, he goes well fresh. He won first time out last season. There's obviously been a problem which has kept him off for so long, but you look through this field and you say to yourself, hold on here a second now. The Tin Man is 8, and while he ran okay the last twice, like, I don't know whether he's able to beat Kate Byron if Kate Byron is 95%. Brando is 8. Brando is definitely not as good as Brando was. Breathtaking Luck definitely has a chance. But if Kate Byron is 95% the horse we saw last season when he was at his peak, I think Kate Byron will win.
Who do you like, Keith?
I'm going to assume Kate Byron's having a spin for the Champion Sprint. And therefore he'll tighten up for this. And I thought the Tin Man might be the bet in the race. Obviously, these late season sprints, when the ground gets a bit testing, he does tend to pop up and run a big race. He's won the Champion Sprint in the past. And obviously now he's 8, he just needs it to be that little bit easier. And a Group 3 is exactly that. He was second in the Far Side group in the Sprint Cup last time. Only Golden Horde did better from that side. So you can see he's in pretty good form. And I just thought that, assuming Kate Byron has bigger days on his agenda, Tin Man probably doesn't these days. So he might be the bet.
Good old the Tin Man. Now, I must say, they're showing one race at Redcar. I wish it was the 250, which is the Guysborough Stakes, featuring the likes of Escobar, Calusi, My Oberon and others. But it is actually the 325, which is the William Hill two-year-old trophy. It's a 6-furlong race with a wide open market and a big field. And Ryan, take us through the betting.
Yeah, Lullaby Moon and Sprite both head our market at 5-1 at the moment. Zamani is in there at 7s. Uncle Jumbo is in there at 8-1, and it's 10-1 then. Tinocchio, bigger prices the rest. It's a race I try and avoid every year, and it's been the same this year.
No bet for Ryan. Who for David?
I'm going to chance Blind Beggar here. Second run for Richard Fahey. Still a maiden, actually, after 4 starts, and probably has been a little in the maiden that Mooker won at York, and then actually ran, it wasn't the maiden, sorry, it was an obvious race, then actually ran a Thirst behind Kuntum, the horse that has done us a good deed there at Ayr a few weeks ago. All his form is actually working out really well, and last time when it first started was with Michael Dodd, started Haydock, completely missed a break, was out the back, stumbled again actually before halfway, and flew home, only beaten half a length. Now, he's only rated 85, but I don't think he's got near the ceiling of his ability yet. I think he's much better than that. And I think 20-1 is a big price about Blind Beggar.
Okie dokes. I'm going to put a tentative one up here. If you can get plenty of extra places, I think Mamba Wamba likes this ground and will run very well indeed. Paddy Power currently 12-1. Keith, who are you going to go for?
I'm probably going to split stakes between the horse drawn in number one and the horse drawn in stall 22 of 22. I thought Uncle Jumbo, obviously we've seen him run in that sales race at York. Doncaster, sorry, showed loads of pace that day. I think the market late on told you that he was the Kevin Ryan horse that was meant to go the best. And indeed, he did. He ran a really good race there. And you'd think on the basis of that, that coming back just a little bit in trip would be to his benefit. And I'm also going to put up Gussie Mack just for a price element, really. He's 33-1. Already a winner at listed level. And his two runs since have both been in group races. Didn't seem to handle Goodwood the first time in the Richmond. And then in Mighty Gurkha's race at Kempton, out the back and just got no run at all. I think with a clearer run, he might have got fourth. So the red card listed race is just that slight step down a lot of the time. And if you can split stakes across, you're essentially taking the draw out of it, hopefully, unless they all come right up the middle. And that's the two I'll go for.
Thank you very much, Keith. Let's switch our attention now to Longchamp on Saturday. Obviously, the main action takes place on Sunday, but there's a couple of group ones on a really, really good card. We'll look at those races now. First of them is the 215. It's the Qatar Prix de Royalieu, in which King Rafe has the favourite in Manuel de Vega, Ryan.
Yeah, so Manuela de Vega heads their betting at 7-2. Pista's in there at 4-1 for Joseph O'Brien. Wonderful Tonight is in there at 5s. And it's 11-2 then, and bigger the remainder of the field.
Just to confirm, that horse is called Pista. I thought Ryan said Pissed, but I don't think that name would get through. Okay, Keith, who are you going to be backing here?
It's a really interesting group one, not a particularly strong one, I wouldn't have said. And I just think Pista's a good horse, isn't she? You know, that the way she's come on from June making her debut to winning the Park Hill at Doncaster last time, still showing signs of greenness and yet quicking up like she did to win that race by a length and a half. She could just be a little bit better than all that, and I think she is the one I'll be backing.
Okay, it's no good asking me because I'm going to be all over Manuela de Vega, King Rafe on soft ground. That will do for me. Who's going to win it in your eyes, Ryan?
I think Monica Sharif has a chance at a price. She's around 9-1 at the moment. Obviously, she's a mudlark. She ran okay in the Ebor, and I think she'd be the one for me each way in the race.
And DJ, this is a fascinating heat, as Keith says.
It is, yeah. I'm with you, though. I think Pista is a rapidly improving filly, but I just think with Manuela de Vega, like, this is her. These are her terms and conditions. Like, has the ground, the trip, the time of year, everything seems to be in her favour. And you just go back to that run of Haydock earlier on in the season where she basically hammered Fanny Logan. Now, Fanny Logan was obviously having her first start of the season, but that was an extraordinary performance, absolutely bolted up. And I think it'll take a big performance from Pista to beat Manuela de Vega. So I'm in the Manuela de Vega camp, Bruce.
Good man, DJ. Now then, the Prix de Cadran always used to be the last group race on Arc Day. And many is the time I've been scrabbling around trying to find the winner to try and get myself out of trouble. But instead, it's been moved to Saturday. It takes place at 4 o'clock. It is over 2.5 miles and it will take some getting. And there's a local favourite here, Ryan.
Yeah, Call the Wind will be all the rage, I'd imagine. It's 4-5. Princess Zoe, it'll be a great story if she was to win. She's in there 11-4. She's been well supported over the past few weeks when she's been confirmed for the race. Think of Me is next in at 6-1, and that's bigger prices the rest.
Are you going to side with the Fav, Ryan?
I think so, yeah. I think he's a solid option in the race. Although I would like to see Princess Zoe win. I'd be just question mark over the trip of 2.5 miles on this sort of ground. She showed a good turn of foot to win in Galway the twice she won. And for me, Call the Wind just looks very solid at the head of the bet.
DJ is one of racing's great storytellers. So why would Princess Zoe winning be so nice?
It's probably this type of story here. Just a horse bought from France, not for a lot of money, that started off in a handicap off America 64. And it's more like Tony Mullins is obviously Willie's brother, Danny's father. And he's just a real kind of, he's a character, just kind of has lovely phrases and just kind of doesn't take himself too seriously. And just the excitement in his voice when he talks about this mare, it's unbelievable. And he said basically that the plan is the mare's novice hurdle at the Cheltenham Festival. That's the long-term aim for Princess Zoe. But I spoke to him last week and he said, you know what, she wins this and then when she's going to run in the pre-Royal Oak then, so it's going to be very hard to go over hurdles if she's after winning two group ones. I don't care betting wise. I just want to watch this race. And I just love the thought of like an 18-year-old jockey who claims £5 in Ireland, obviously can't claim here, going over to ride a horse that's trained by Tony Mullins. It's just a lovely, beautiful story that if it did come together and she did happen to win, it would just light up the weekend. And I just really hope it happens because if you couldn't smile when Princess Zoe wins a group one, you'll never smile.
Lovely stuff, DJ. Thank you very much for enlightening us on the Princess Zoe story. Over to the Grinch. I suppose you'll be telling us she's got no chance now, will you?
No, she's got that. She's got the chance her price suggests, to be honest. She's obviously progressive. You know, a horse that's got half a stone to find, but it's progressive against a horse that's been there and done it loads. The latter would be about even money 4-5 and the other would be about 3-1. So, yeah, I think that's about right.
Jolly good. Thank you, Keith. OK, before we get the naps, DJ, I think you've got one you want to tell us about for Saturday that's not on the TV.
Yeah, there's racing at Tipperary on Saturday and actually quite a good card as well. There's some stakes action. And one that I liked in the... I'll just get it up now, Bruce. I know you like to know the times of the races. One that I liked in the 150, the Listed Coolmore Churchill Stakes. Cosmic Vega runs here for Jessica Harrington and Shane Foley. I was very impressed with this horse when he won its maiden at Leopardstown. He's taken on Ontario, who ran last weekend and could have just taken the edge off Ontario. I think Cosmic Vega is a nice horse and could go very close.
Let's get the naps. We'll start with Keith Melrose.
Probably Pista in the 2:15 at Longchamp.
Okay, Ryan McHugh.
Yeah, I'm going a bit left field. I'm going to Tipperary for a 3:35. Starting Monday, I thought would win the 3:35 in Tipperary.
Thank you, Ryan. And DJ.
Oh, Bruce, I'm so excited about this. Peaceful 2:45 Newmarket.
Excellent. Without further ado, let's get stuck into the ARC card.
Here at Paddy Power, we're the home of the Money Back Special with some incredible offers every single week. Check out the website or app today. Terms and conditions apply. 18+ begambleaware.org.
Welcome back to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. It's Bruce Millington, David Jennings, Keith Melrose and Ryan McHugh from Paddy Power looking ahead to one of the great days of the year, ARC Day. At Longchamp on Sunday, sadly, only 1,000 lucky people will be there to enjoy it, but the action is on ITV. So we're very much looking forward to it. And there is a host of great Group 1 action. We'll do the ARC first, and then we'll do the rest. The ARC takes place at 3:05. It is the Qatar Prix de l'Arc de Triomphe, to give it its full name. Ryan, I want a show of betting first, and then the most miserable man in racing, Keith Melrose, the man who's done his best. We've all spent the week so excited about Enable's historic third ARC bid. And he wrote this piece the other day. Yeah, she's not bad. She's quite good. But anyway, we'll get his thoughts after you've given us the betting, Ryan.
Yeah, well, the average filly held to betting at 5-4. We're paying four places in the race to each way punter. Stradivarius is in there at 13-2. Who'd have thought he'd be second favourite? Sotstas 8-1. In Swoop 9-1. And 11-1, then bigger the rest.
Come on then. Why won't she win, Keith?
I don't think she necessarily won't win. I'm just saying that at no point in her career would she have been as good a horse as Trev was. But that doesn't matter now because his middle distance division isn't as good as it was when Trev was around. So she has been, she's like that. Remember that old swimmer in the Guinness adverts? You know how they just keep making it so that you'll always beat the pint? She's a bit like that and she's very likeable and she deserves to be favourite for this race. And I wouldn't even say I'd put you off her at 11-8, but you know, this probably says more about me, but I'd like Enable more if she'd been winning listed in Group 3s all this time rather than Group 1s because it's that attitude that makes her the likeable in a way. She has sort of overachieved in a way because of that attitude. If you're wanting to ask me what I'm going to actually back in the ARC, you know, I've tossed this over and it's hard to find much, but DJ's obviously, every horse in this race has been a cliff horse for DJ at some point, I think. You've got Japan and Mogul in there. I hate to think what he's going to do with Shastri's next progeny. He's probably going to follow that to the poorhouse, but I think Mogul's the one to be back at 20-1. They've always thought, and I've always picked this up from DJ, that they've thought he's a good horse. And he finally looked it in the Grand Prix de Paris. And, you know, he's still got quite a lot to find on form. You can't have everything at 20s. But I think this maybe is the horse in a weak ARC besides Enable. I do think that this is maybe the horse at 20-1 that is going to run into a place or maybe even better. And he's a very, very big price. Although, the more I look at Serpentine, the more I think he is actually made for a really galloping race like this. So wouldn't be a bold over if he went well either.
Now, halfway through that, DJ came off the mute button. I thought he was going to jump in and have a go, but you've held your fire, DJ. What have you got to say?
Yeah, just on Enable, like I wouldn't subscribe to the theory that Trev was in a completely different league to Enable. And
didn't say that, did I?
Well, you basically did.
I said he was better.
You were drinking Guinness and everything there in the middle. I just don't see how you can knock Enable and say that she wouldn't have beaten Trev. Or like Trev beat Flincher. I think Kingsdill Hill was only beaten a couple of lengths in one of the arcs that Trev won. Like Trev was absolutely amazing. But so too is Enable. And you see all these countdowns and it seems almost like the cool thing to do at the moment from a tipping and racing expert thing to do is to knock Enable because you go through her form and you say, oh, well, hold on a second. Look at that race you won. She only won by a couple of lengths. And, you know, look at, you know, she won. She beat Crystal Ocean by a neck in the King George. A lot of the times, I think Enable won with more authority than the winning margin suggests. You can point to last year's arc and you can say, yes, she was beaten fair and square by Wildgeist. But I just think the way the race panned out, I think Frankie would love it back. And I know you can't, good horses, you don't need to make excuses for her. But I just thought that was one occasion where you could make an excuse for her. I think she would have found it exceptionally hard to give so much weight to Love. I really do, on any way decent ground. But I think now that Love is out of the way, I think Enable probably will win. And I hope she does, because I think she deserves to be talked about in the Trev. What won the best of Seabird? Obviously, Seabird was obviously amazing. But I think she, if she wins this, she'd surely be in, you know, the top five best horses we've ever seen. And I think she deserves to be there. I think she is really exceptional. I think she handles this ground. As regards a betting proposition, I just want her to win. I wouldn't be backing her. I want her to win. Look, I'm Keith spoke about it there, how many Cliff horses of mine are in here. And I'm obviously ashamed to say this, but I think the one at the prices that's most value at the moment, given the way conditions are, is Japan. Again,
oh, somebody set up the QI klaxon. He's gone for Japan again.
Yeah.
You know, I should probably just shut up now, but like, just in a couple of seconds, Japan and Mogul are obviously brothers. They're both by the same dam. Japan seems to handle the softer ground much better than Mogul. He won his maiden at Listowel on bottomless heavy ground. Like, when you get bottomless heavy ground at Listowel, it's Atlantic stuff. It is unbelievably soft, and he handled it that day. You just go through his form, and when he gets cut in the ground over a mile and a half, he's actually a very good horse. And just from speaking to Aidan all along, now he does make excuses for this horse far too often, but you just got the impression everything has been about the arc. Obviously, there's a Japanese connection. And
oh, hang on a sec. It's been about, everything's yeah. been about his next race.
About
then it's been about his next race. Then it's been about his next race. What's the point of listening to Aidan? Why don't you look at the form book, DJ?
Yeah, well, that's my point. Looking at the form book, when he has got cut on the ground, like on over a mile and a half. If you go back to last year's arc, when, you know, he was only a 3-year-old, I thought he ran an absolute cracker to be only beaten 4 lengths by Wall Guys. He was bang in the mix. He was 6 lengths ahead of Magical that day. Look, he's 18-1. I know I give this horse far too many chances, but I'm just going to afford him one more.
I tell you what, I do need to rescind that. I've just literally said the stupidest thing I've ever said. Why do you listen to Aidan O'Brien? Well, perhaps because he's the biggest genius that's ever been connected
right
with horse racing.
But
I must say this though, DJ. I played golf with Keels and Tom yesterday, and halfway round I said, "Who have you tipped for the arc, Keels?" And he said, "I've tipped Japan." I said, "No, for the arc." And he stood his ground. So, yeah, you've got a supporter there. Ryan, you've been listening to the boys bickering away. Who do you think's going to win the arc?
I'm really interested in Serpentine. The draw has actually put me off slightly. He's obviously drawn widest of all, which is not ideal. I just think the fact he had an 8-week gap from the Epsom Derby to Longchamp on his next run, he went off shortest of the O'Brien runners that day. He definitely had one eye on this race when he was sending him over to that race. The draw, as I said, has put me off, but I think he's very interested in running around 12-1. I'd be keen to take on Enable personally.
And also, presumably, Ryan, sorry, Keith, with the draw there, presumably it'll just blast out anyway. Like, you know, as Frank,
you're hoping that, but you're just hoping he doesn't have to do too much too soon to get to the position that he probably has his best chance of winning.
Yeah, but to get to that position, he's got to do something early. So I'm not even sure it matters where he is. Sorry, Keith.
Well, I mean, Christophe Soumillon wouldn't get out of his bed if it took too much effort. You know, he's that sort of jockey, so I'm sure he'll do a good job in terms of minimising the effort Serpentine has to expend. I just wanted to back up what Ryan said about the Grand Prix de Paris. Watched it first time this morning for Mogul. I watched it a second time for Serpentine. That was a spin if ever I saw one. He has been aimed at the arc.
And can someone just give us a word on this horse In Swoop? I'd never even heard of at the start of the week, and he's now a single-figure price. Keith, what do you make of that?
Yeah, the price has massively gone on this horse. If you were on at 33s, you've got a good bet. I was saying it was Maddie who's put him up, and I said to Maddie, it reminded me, I did much the same with his sire, Adler Fluke, who was another soft ground monster. When the ground looked like coming up one in the arc 1 year, I backed him at about 110 on Betfair. He didn't run, and 2020 me would have known that, but 2007 and me didn't. But yeah, this horse is, you look at that, the long shot race last time, the Grand Prix de Paris, he shouldn't be half the price of Mogul, irrespective of the ground. And that's all that needs to be said, I think.
I think Mogul's going to win. But I want to know what you guys think will be the 1, 2, 3. We'll start with you, David Jennings.
Enable 1, Japan 2 and Satsas 3.
Keith.
Mogul 1, Enable 2, and let's say Serpentine 3.
And Ryan.
Serpentine, Enable, and Stradivarius to run on to get turned.
Oh, yeah, we haven't hardly even mentioned good old Stradivarius, have we? Okay, chaps, that was the arc. Now let's take in all these other great juicy group ones at Longchamp on Sunday, starting with the 115. It's the Qatar Prix Jean-Luc Lagardère for the two-year-old colts. It's over 7 furlongs. And Nando Parado, the 150-1 shock winner of the Cov, is a lot shorter here, Ryan.
Yeah, quite a bit shorter. All right, he's 11-8 to win this race. St. Mark's Basilica is in there, 2-1. Seal Away at 6-1. And Cairn Gorm is in there at 8. So I may as well mention the other two. Then Laws of Indices is at 10. And it's 12-1. Libertine is the outsider of the field.
And we'll stick with you for the selection, Ryan.
I think St. Mark's Basilica should be a lot closer in the betting to Nando Parado than they currently are. Nando Parado was only a neck in front of Rhythm Master when he ran the last day. That horse has come out subsequently and been beaten. I just like the look of the National Stakes this year. I think it's a really strong race. St. Mark's Basilica, to me, still looked like he was kind of learning. He kind of ran around a bit in the mid part of the race and was kind of trapped a little wide. And the fact he's won on soft ground, he won his maiden on soft ground, that form has been franked. I think he should be a lot closer in the betting to Nando Parado. He's a strong selection for me.
I couldn't agree more. Do you agree, DJ?
Couldn't agree more. You said everything I wanted to say, St. Mark's Basilica.
Okay, and is it a full house for St. Mark's Basilica, Keith?
I had to check the distance of this race when I looked at it, because normally this is your basically France's Dewhurst. It's their Guineas trial. And yet a lot of these horses in this race are real two-year-olds. You know, Nando Parado's your likely favourite by Kodiak, and they're all sort of bred to be two-year-olds, really, apart from St. Mark's Basilica, who's getting better by the run. And I'm making it a full house, because I think he's the only one of these that's really still got loads of improvement left in him, and that I think he should be clear favourite.
Excellent stuff. We all agree, St. Mark's Basilica. Let's see what the views of the lads are on the 150. It's the Qatar Prix Marcel Boussac. This time it's the two-year-old fillies. It's over a mile, and Joseph O'Brien has the fav, Ryan.
Yeah, pretty gorgeous. It's currently 7-4. She was 2-1 earlier on. She's been, we've seen a few quid knocking around, so she's into 7-4. Fev Rover's in there, 5-1 next in the betting. Mother Earth at 8-1, along with Tiger Tanaka, and it's 9-1 by them four I mentioned.
Okay, now DJ, I mean, if we think the second favourite is too big in the Lagardère, is that not the case here? Surely Fev's got to be a bit closer to Pretty Gorgeous, doesn't she?
No, I think Pretty Gorgeous is the best of these by a considerable margin. You know, she beat Shale at the Curragh originally in a Group 2 on soft ground. Obviously, she was beaten by Shale in the National Stakes, or the Meugler. But everything about her screams class. And even last time, she tried a very short run, and I thought she was just about outstayed by Shale. That's why the trip here is a little bit of a worry. But she'll just travel so well through the race. She's drawn in stall 14. Again, a little bit of a concern, but that's, I think, factored into the price. I presume she'll be around evens for this. I think she's very, very good. I think she'll win next year's 1,000 guineas.
If she's even, send me a text and I'll lay you 11-10. I like Fev Rover. Keith likes...
Fev Rover, nominally. I'm not going to have a massive bet on her. I got lured in last year thinking the Marcel Boussac's a race that likes as Arcava win. It's not often. I opposed Albina for that reason, and she won it quite well. Fev Rover is bred to stay a mile at the very most, but has looked absolutely fine with the trip. It was 7 furlongs, sorry, on really testing ground. Yeah, she'd be the one I'd be backing, but it won't be a big bet.
Who are you going to go for, Ryan?
Yeah, I agree with what DJ said. Pretty Gorgeous looks a completely different filly on soft ground. She's going to get that the weekend, and I think she's entitled to be there in the bet.
Righty-ho, we move on to the race after the art, which is the 350, the Prix de l'Opéra, 4 fillies and mares over 10 furlongs. Donica's got the favourite. Oh, actually, no, it's joint favourites, aren't they, Ryan?
Yeah, joint favourites are 5-2, both Alpine Star and Fancy Blue. Tarkiel is next in for the home team at 4-1. And then at 6-1, Tarnawa, 12-1, then Bardem 4.
Keith, after you've washed all that pink and green face paint off after Enablers won the arc, who will you be backing in this?
I think Alpine Star is a really good horse, and I think I'd want her to be favourite if I was pricing up a book. You know, she with Tokyo are the only two with form in the really soft. really soft French ground. Alpine Star was second, obviously, last time in the Jacques Noirwa. And it looked like only her and Palace Pier really handled the conditions that day, which were, it basically, they might as well have been running in the channel for all it mattered. It was really, really testing that day. So you can't have any issue with the conditions. I think a mile two might ultimately be your best trip. I do like this horse an awful, awful lot. So I will be backing her.
Alpine Star for Keith. Who for Ryan?
I agree with what Keith said. Yeah, I was slightly disappointed with Fancy Blue and the last day in the Matron. And if Alpine Star puts up the performance that she put up in the Jacques Lemar, well, I think that'll be good enough here.
And DJ, I'm pretty sure you're an Alpine Star fan, aren't you? You always have been.
Oh, I am, yeah. And I think she'll probably win. The worry I have with Fancy Blue, speaking to Dunnock after the Matron, he was disgusted with himself for running her in the Matron. A mile on quick ground was not what Fancy Blue wanted. And I just worry, might that have taken a little bit out of her? She had a hard race there, staying on strongly. And that's just a nagging doubt in the back of my mind. I think with Alpine Star, she's had a nice break, 49 days since running against Palace Pier. And, you know, that was a cracking effort. And I just wonder, it probably didn't suit her making the run in the French Oaks. I think maybe just sitting off the pace suits, and she's drawn a stall four here. Shane Foley gets on really well with her. And yeah, it's a tentative vote for Alpine Star, but this is a hell of a race.
Tell you what, DJ, in future, when you start your argument for a horse, just omit the bit that says I spoke to XX O'Brien at the start.
Yeah, but they are quite interesting insights, Keith. I mean, that was... Where are you going to come back to that one, DJ? That was quite harsh, that wasn't it? The Grinch has done you there.
Yeah, maybe. He's probably right.
No. I like to hear from what DJ's heard from the O'Brien family. I think it's great.
That was more just his disgust. I thought that was interesting that he was disgusted that he actually even ran her. Like, she was favourite for a group one and she finished third. And it was just a strange reaction. I only say things that I think are strange, Keith.
Yeah, no, that... Go on, Keith.
I wasn't so much about that. It's more the fact that every horse that he puts up is involved in what an O'Brien thinks.
Well, it is quite. They are quite an influential family out there, to be fair. So I think our roving reporter DJ bringing us what the main men have to say is always valuable. Now, the traditional highlight of the ARC undercard is the Abbey, which used to be the first race. It's now much later on. It takes place at 4:25. Over five furlongs, a weird old race. If you go to Longchamp, you cannot see a thing because they've got a grandstand in the way. They charge right up the middle. The camera work is mad. They change angles every 3 seconds. You haven't got a clue what's happening. You don't know where the winning line is, but we can assume...
well explained.
Well, that's roughly it, isn't it? It just sort of happens.
I couldn't believe it. I was at the ARC the year before last, and I had heard like how far it was away, but it's just astonishing, really.
It's mad. Right. It was even madder when they were at Chantilly because they actually disappear into the forest. I mean, it's the kookiest race of all time. Anyway,
so how did it compare to like the Sandown 5 furlong track, lads? Because I'll say the Sandown, honestly, but not Longchamp.
Yeah, it's even madder, Keith.
Really?
It's a kind of similar thing. It's just straight down the middle and miles away. But it's to be honest, it's the fact that you can't see anything because they've got the grandstand on the far side. It's just so peculiar.
It's a mad race, isn't it? I mean, and the Abbey is the only race that I expect Dick Dastardly to be leading until the final 100 yards. You know, it's absolutely mental, isn't it?
It absolutely is. It's wacky races. But last year's winner, Glass Slippers, won convincingly enough. Can she do it again? And more importantly, how did Paddy Power rate her chances, Ryan?
9-4 at the moment to repeat defeat. May make a challenge in there at 7-2. We'll have to turn around the form from the Flying Five with her. Warded is next in at 6-1, and then it's 8-1 by the top three in the bet.
And we'll stick with you, Ryan. Do you fancy Glass Slippers?
Favourite. She probably could get a little bit shorter on the day, given the strength of the opposition just going through it this morning. For me, there's no real value in Make a Challenge. I wouldn't be putting up with the price he is, but I just think he gets his conditions here. He wants heavy ground. The heavier it is, the better for him. He was drawn on the wrong side in the Flying Five last time. So I kind of upgrade that performance of that run. He was beaten two lengths by Glass Slippers. So I think Make a Challenge might beat Glass Slippers, but at the prices, it doesn't really look too much of a bet at 7-2. I thought it'd get bigger, to be honest.
Is there any value in this list, David Jennings?
Yeah, I spoke to Dennis Hogan yesterday, and I know that's a joke.
Dennis O'Brien.
I think Make a Challenge will win. There's a running joke in the Irish Racing Post press room with myself and Justin O'Hanlon, because I'm a massive Batash fan, and I always say Batash is the best sprinter I've ever seen when he's on his A game. And Justin always comes back with, he'd never beat Make a Challenge on soft ground. And we've had this running joke the whole way along. And I'm like, Make a Challenge only an old handicapper. Sure, how can you say that? How can you put them in the same sentence? And I text him yesterday morning and I said, you know what? I said, Make a Challenge is going to win the Abbey. I was actually kind of fancying him to beat Batash. And I know that sounds ridiculous, but the ground is just so heavy and he's going to love it so much that he really is a betting proposition at 7-2. This is like everything he wants in a nutshell. He will absolutely adore the ground. He's been trained for the race, and everything about his form screams that he's a Group 1 winner waiting to happen on this ground. Don't forget, he traded ridiculously short in running for last year's champions sprint over six. The front of furlong out, looked all over, just didn't get home. And I think five at Longchamp on heavy ground, you will see the best of Make a Challenge. So I think he'll win.
Keith, do you agree?
No, I don't. Although I do have a lot of sympathy with Ryan's position. I think we all thought we were going to get a better price than we are about the horses we're putting up, because Batash has come out. You know, he was, what, twos on or whatever it was. And the one I'm putting up is, it's on the same basis of really testing ground. And it's also because the only thing you can rely upon on this 5-4-long course at Longchamp is that if you're drawn really wide, you're probably dead. And I can see Glass Slippers drifting for that very reason. Drawn in one is a horse called Archer's Dream, who I think is a real soft ground monster. His record on soft is really quite good. The Haydock win he had in July is working out reasonably well. He was again in that far side group in the Sprint Cup last time, and we can chuck that out. Travels well enough to think he'll be fine back at five. I was expecting more like 25s to get about him. What price is he, Ryan?
18s, I can tell you.
18s. I'm still pretty happy with that. I'll have an each way bet on him. It would be far from the least likely horse to get involved, given the history of this race. So, yeah, bit of an each way bet on him.
Excellent. Thank you very much indeed. And finally, for Longchamp on Sunday, it's the Qatar Prix de la Forêt. Takes place over over seven furlongs. A great race for fans of the, what I would call, the underappreciated seven furlong division. Earthlight is your favourite, Ryan.
6-4 Earthlight. Yeah, Bruce. 3-1 in there, one master. The likeable Safe Voyage is next in at 4-1. Lopi Fernandez at 8. And then it's 16-1 and bigger the rest.
Keith, we'll go to you first. Who is your selection going to be?
Well, obviously, one master's not an underappreciated horse particularly. She's one of the most likable horses in training now, and her and Earthlight are very good horses. But possibly my biggest fancy the day runs here. I think this is the conditions under which we'll see the best of Lopie Fernandez. He's been sort of in the middle all year, really. He was third in the Irish Guineas, and then he's running a few sprints, and in both the Commonwealth Cup and the Sprint Cup, he's just been run off his feet a little. In between that, he was second to Pinatibo in the Prix Jean Prat, and then he was third to Space Blues in the Maurice de Geest, doing his best work at the finish in the latter occasion. I think that form's as good as most any horse in his race has. I think seven furlongs at Longchamp, even though it is quite a fast seven at Longchamp, the ground will be testing and make sure that it's a reasonable enough test at the trip. I think these are his conditions. And at 8-9-1, I think he's definitely the bet in the race.
Interesting. I like the cut of your jib there, Grinchy. Ryan, who are you going to go for?
I don't have a strong opinion on who will win the race, but I have a strong opinion who I don't feel will win the race. I'd be keen to take on Earthlight in the race here. You have really solid options if you're taking him on with the likes of One Master and Safe Voyage, who are sure to run the races. It was his first try over seven furlong the last day on good ground. It's seven furlong on very soft ground this time round. I think that'll find them out. So I'd be against Earthlight and might just have something on Lopi Fernandez with the reasons that Key put him up.
Jolly good. And finally, David Jennings, who are you going to go for here?
I actually think Earthlight will win this. It's obviously not saying anything out of the ordinary, but I just think he's better than these. They are good horses and they're good seven furlong specialists. But he just could just be a notch above them. And, you know, he started 11-10 favour for the pre-Maurice de Geest. And he was a little bit disappointing there. But I actually thought he was ridden probably a little bit too aggressively there. And Space Blues kind of pounced. I just think it's a simple theory, but I just think he's the best horse in the race. He's not much value, though.
Sometimes it is best to keep it simple. away from Longchamp. Keith, I think you've got a couple for us very quickly.
Yes, I do. A couple of my tracker horses are coming back at Kelso. The jumps must be just round the corner. Stay Humble runs in the 2:30. He's only had a couple of goes for Pauline Robson, but has shaped well both times. And I think he could well win that the 2:30 there at Kelso. And then in the 3:30, you've got dear old Simply Ned at 13 coming back in that race for the umpteenth time. And Cracking Destiny, a horse I like even more. But Cool Mix, I think, is made for 2 miles or a drop back to this sort of trip. And he's had a spin here, I think, to get him ready for this. And even though he's £5 at the weight, I can see him being a good price and the sort of price I like to get involved at.
Thank you, Keith. And you've sussed one for us as well on Sunday, haven't you, Ryan?
Yeah, I like A Wave of the Sea and the Like a Butterfly novice chase, Bruce. It looks a cracking renewal of the race. And he gets the 4-year-old's allowance. He's a sound jumper. He won at Kilbeggan last time. And I think he'll take plenty of beating in that race.
That's in the 3:38 at Tipperary. Not a sentence I've ever read out. Okay, chaps, thank you very much indeed. It's been a marathon rather than a sprint, but hopefully Keith, David and Ryan have pointed you the way towards some weekend value. Don't forget, if you enjoy the shows, we'd love you to rate, review and subscribe wherever you're listening. Maddie's going to be back on Monday to review all the action, and we're back next Friday for more great racing podcasts.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18 plus, begambleaware.org.